Five, four, three, two, one. Bow. You are listening to Flowing with Famous Man. My voice is gone here. You're all Fresno podcast, where we talk about all things Fresno. This is Joshua Teehee, a.k.a. Famous Whitewater, and with me, as always, is Mike C. of the Dorktown Network of Podcasts.
Hi, Josh.
And we're here in studio to talk about Fresno.
Yay!
And all the stuff that's... It's
all those things.
It's April.
That makes Fresno, Fresno. And April.
It was April. We made it through March. We made it through the weather, the rain.
Wacky weather.
It was crazy.
All the cold, and then it was warm.
It was cold and warm and cold and rainy.
And then not sunny and all the things.
Tornadoes.
March had all the things.
It had everything. It was crazy. Rain, snow. There was snow. There was
not in the valley floor.
Of snow.
There were rumors.
Thoughts of snow. Rumors of snow possibly falling. It was, wow.
Now it's, now we're getting to more stable weather.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
And then the heat. And then the heat. So we have... probably the 4 weeks of April, I would think.
Yeah.
Where things will be beautiful and wonderful and people should just go outdoors.
Go up
and live your best life.
Go hiking around Millerton.
Go hiking.
Pincushion Trail.
Pincushion.
Get up there.
Oh man, that's a rough one.
Oh, that's too rough for you?
Pincushion. Yeah. I mean
children go up that trail.
Fun. That's what I hear. I did it.
Hey, I didn't halfway you're like, nah, I can't do it. So, come on, Josh, there's a five-year-old passing you. No!
There was no five-year-olds when I was there. But yeah, it's just, it's pretty vertical.
Yeah.
All right. So lots of stuff happened in March, man. The recap of that is crazy.
We're going to have to.
Crazy. Soma, I mean, yeah.
First
things.
Fresh Jazz Fest
happened.
It happened. It was big.
Man.
As big as ever.
I will admit freely that I was not there. I didn't make it down. I don't think it's the first time. I think I've missed a couple of years just for being out of town or other stuff happening. But this time it really was.
You were at BakoFest.
Festival. I was at the Bakersfield. No, it was one of those things I was busy doing stuff, in the morning and throughout the afternoon. And I was hanging out with some friends. And it got to a point where, you know, at a certain point it was like, yeah, I could go down. And I had sort of been planning to go down, and this was my plan for it because I live, downtown. I was going to walk down there.
Yeah.
I was going to get a view of the land. If things was crazy, I would just say, it's not worth it, you know. But I was hanging out, having a good time with some friends, doing that whole thing, and I kept looking at social media, and at a certain point, it looked like there were so many people that I just wasn't feeling that, you know, at the time. Which happens, and look, it's not a bad problem to have that here's the other thing, and this is the great thing, I think. About where the event has gone. Like, they don't need my support anymore. Like, you know, it doesn't. There was 17,000 people, I think, that they had show up there, you know, and it was all in all, you were there.
Yes.
So you can speak to it more than I can, but I'm sure it was a great event, and I'm super happy with what they're doing. It is one of those things now where I kind of just feel like, well, I can just back away. And truthfully, I also feel it's become like a type of event that I'm not really into.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, and that's not a bad thing either. It's just like, I don't go to Big Hat Days. And I'm not saying this is like Big Hat Day, like, but you know, I'm not into an event where there's a ton of people milling around and kind of like, you know, I am into a smaller.
Yeah.
Event where there's bands playing and I can kind of hang out and, you know, see that kind of stuff. But at a certain point, it probably got it has become a little too big and crowded and whatever, for me.
Yes.
So
this is all 100% on board with your statements. It's a great event that, it's slightly aging past me.
I didn't want to bring that up, but I also feel the same way. If this was happening when I was in my 20s or in my 30s, it would be over.
Yeah. And the rule of thumb is for us that don't care for the huge crowds, you go early.
You go early.
And it's fine.
Right.
First couple hours is mellow.
Till what, 3, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock?
Yeah, I would say 3. I bet 5 o'clock could get too busy. But yeah, till about 3 o'clock, you're cool. You don't have to wait in a huge line.
Right, go with the kids.
You can get a beer. You can go with the kids. Yeah. It's not overwhelming. But I'd say after 3, things start ramping up. And the year before I'd gone, or the past couple of years, I had gone early.
Right.
And it was fine. But this year I had the track and field event I was at.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Which
Collegian.
I got to see via social media. That's nice.
And so I didn't get out there until 5.
Ooh, okay, okay.
And it was slammed then. Yeah. Like, just completely slammed. And I went into the Zach's Brewing's VIP event inside there, and walked right in there. That was awesome because they had their own entrance outside of the Fresia's entrance, and then you could just walk right into the Fresia's thing without any
from Zach's
lines. Yeah, from Zach's, you just walk right out of Zach's.
Oh, see, that's very smart. Okay, cool. Very good, very good, very good.
And
so it was like a private entrance you paid.
Yeah, we went out there and Nick and I, we went across the street at that new building that we can get into now. Across from the street.
I can't remember the name of it, but it's
another Armenian building. But
they had the chill lounge, what they were calling it.
And it just to see that building, it was really cool. That thing was I'm sure fire codes were being violated.
No. Don't say that. For me. There were no fire codes.
Everything
on par. Was on par.
I'm probably underestimating how many people can be in there.
But it was definitely crowded.
Oh yeah. But it was cool. We got to see, and they even had the back kind of open up to at least you can look in the back.
Oh, okay.
It's huge back there. Like the back of that building takes over the back of that whole big building where now they have this. Those three new spaces that are nice and revamped.
That face Fulton.
Yeah. Okay. That along in with that building, and it like goes behind those buildings.
Oh.
So I mean, that's up for lease. That's a big space.
Yeah.
You could make a perfect, pretty sizable brewery in there if anybody's looking to get another brewery in the brewery district. It's very similar to Zach's. Building
in terms of layout,
yeah, real similar. There's some little different things in that building than in Zach's building, but it's pretty similar. But that was cool. Again, that was my favorite part, I think, was being able to get into there. But once you go out to Fulton, and you're like, oh, we'll slip in the Tauga, get a beer in there because we want to try the Heron Jaguar, beer, and
which was I got the preview sample. And I really appreciated that. Yeah. I thought it was really good.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So.
Very orange.
It was weird because I feel like the orange, made it work a little bit with the alcohol taste. I don't know. I enjoyed it. Anyway, go on.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So tangent. I had never seen Tioga that packed. I mean, Tioga knows how to handle huge crowds. They had that huge sellout of Flogging Molly.
There was sold out. 2,000, probably 2,000.
They know how to run their stuff, and it was just insanely packed. There were the lines were for everything. There was giant lines. Everything food and beer related,
right?
Was just huge, huge lines. Like I couldn't imagine how long those people had to wait, and. We did a tour around out to Inyo and back, and it was like you had to have a machete to try to clear the
it was one of those
the way.
Yeah.
So there was lines on top of lines mixing with other lines, and it was just like
that kind of a deal.
It was worse than Disneyland.
No,
the busiest day,
really.
Oh, it was bad.
Oh man.
And so we just made our way back to Zach's where it was nice and mellow in there, and way worth if you're next year if it goes the same way. I would get that, spend 50 bucks and go to the Zach Sang. Because you had food truck, good food trucks, you had music, and you had good beer, and there and a nice bathroom, and no lines for any of it.
Well, I feel like it will be interesting to see what happens next year, because, you know, at a certain point, the event will reach a kind of critical mass where it is, mm-hmm. where it's like, look, yeah, it can't grow anymore.
That's sort of my old man whining about it. I was like, maybe we should, maybe they should pump back on the promotion because there's too many people.
Well, I don't think. I don't know.
How do you pump back promotion?
I don't think you can. You still want everyone to come. I mean, I think the answer is you just keep expanding. You know, you keep expanding up Fulton. You keep expanding out.
It starts getting crazy at some point. Like, how many vendors can you get? How many? Because
I think you keep the same amount, but if you can space them out more, then, you know, then you start cutting down on lines, you know, and that sort of thing, maybe. I don't know. I know that the organizers are always, you know, they're
conscientious.
As it's happening, they're probably thinking like, okay, what can we do for next year?
You know,
to make it better.
They're always trying. I mean, I'm complaining about an amazing event. That's right. I'm just complaining because I'm old and don't want to deal with crowds.
I mean, that's 100%. I feel the same way about it. So,
and I'm just like, well, I'm trying to think in their heads, like, how do we make it keep making it as popular as it is, but still make it accessible?
And it's
to me, it's to the point where it's not accessible after
it's
a certain
getting
time.
There. Yeah. I mean, it is, I suppose it is accessible because I'm sure there are a lot of people who went to that and don't care, like, you know, they're totally cool. I mean, it's the same thing with going to the Fresno Fair. You know, there are times when you'll go to the Fresno Fair and it will be packed like that. And to me, like, that's not a lot of fun. Like, I don't like dealing with moving through crowds and having to, but there are lots of people where, like, that's what they want because they want to be, they want that feeling of like, everyone's here and I'm not missing out on something, you know? And it's great to have, you know, Fashion play out there and 15,000 people or whatever there. I mean, that is a really cool, awesome thing that, you know, needs to happen. The fact that it's a free event, I think, is really great and needs to continue. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one thing they could do if they just wanted to scale it back.
Get in or something.
$10 ticket price, $20 ticket price, you know. And that would really cut back. But at the same time, like, there's something cool about having a free event. Mm-hmm. It is accessible to anyone who wants to go.
Right.
And it's downtown and, you know, everything, it's downtown, it's mom and pops, it is like the best of Fresno stuff.
So. Yeah. Well, and the thing I think maybe too is, you know, we experience that all the time. Like, just go to Tioga on a Saturday.
Right.
And it's a mini Fresias Fest.
Right.
Every Saturday.
Right. They have weird, yeah.
So, and you can go over to that. I mean, nothing there now, like all those shops that sell, like all those things there, I do on a semi-regular basis anyway. Like, and it's all together in one spot. That's awesome. But it's more awesome for people that don't go downtown that much to see it. But,
and I think that's probably more of what, the design of it or the thing that you get out of it is you're bringing people who don't necessarily do this all the time. And you're showing them like, hey, here's all these things that like you can come back and see on any given Saturday. And that's sort of like me talking about like, it doesn't need my support. Like those things, we've been supporting those things forever. And we continue to. So like this thing has grown beyond that and needing our support in that way. So
there isn't a bigger thing. I don't think there's a bigger event in Fresno in the year.
Yeah. I mean, number one, I mean, you know, there's
probably more than Grizzly. How much is Grizzly Fest last year?
Grizzly Fest, I think that was pushing the number. I think Grizzly Fest was slightly bigger. Slightly bigger. Mm-hmm. Grizzly Fest will definitely be bigger. I mean, there are bigger events, you know. Well, man, I'm trying to think of like what happens at the Save Mart Center.
Yeah,
like, I think even a sold out Save Mart Center show, even the biggest ones, are, you know.
Is that 17?
15, I think it, I think there might be 15,000-16,000.
Yeah.
So I'm sure the Fresno Fair gets more people through the gates every year.
For in general.
But for one day.
Yeah.
I wonder, I haven't looked at the Fresno Fair numbers because I wonder what they do through the gate on like a given their best Saturday.
Right.
You know, how many people they get in. But I assume it would be more than that. But and I'm sure Clovis, I'm sure Big Hat Day sees, you know,
does
60.
It,
like, yeah, I mean,
I haven't been there in years. So I have no idea. Like, I assume it's not that.
The numbers that I've seen, you know, that they give. But again, that's like over a couple, you know, they're doing like a Saturday, Sunday stuff.
Yeah.
Rodeo the same way. So, I mean, it definitely is one of the biggest events, like, by far, and it's, to me, it's one of the cool, it's definitely the coolest event. I mean, it's so
the and I like that it's completely the all the worries of like the complaints of you can't go downtown because you can't park. Or it's too same, they're completely irrelevant to this, and the North Fresno is completely irrelevant to this, and it's 17,000 people and
who don't care,
and you don't need to market it to North Fresno to make it a big event.
And I mean, this is what Mike Oz said, and I think it's true. It's like there's so much potential in downtown that, like, if you do cool stuff and you do it correctly, people will come down for it. Like they don't that's a old and antiquated thought. That like, oh, people will never come to downtown for stuff. It's like, yes, they will.
Mm-hmm.
And this proves it, and other events prove it. The Grizzlies prove it all the time with their events. So now it's just like building stuff to keep people coming there all the time. You know, they'll definitely come here for one event.
Yeah.
We need to get stuff down there so that like they will come there just on a Saturday just to hang out.
Yeah.
So.
And it's close, and downtown. I mean, there's a lot of area, say, the area nearest community, like I would call it the northeast area of downtown Triangle.
Yeah, yeah.
Where that's kind of dead,
the Visitero
and stuff. But for the most part, like, I happen to work all day around the Century Plaza, the whole area and north of the convention center.
Oh yeah, like Oak Street.
Yeah, and all the government buildings
Street,
and all that.
All around there. Yeah,
it's like a whole nice area.
It's ridiculous back there.
It's a nice, that whole area is just nice. It's a nice downtown. Any downtown would be proud of, and how people have and you know, you follow that all the way back to Tioga to the Grizzly Stadium.
Right.
It's a whole nice area, and it.
I think people
the fact
don't
that
know
people
it
are
exists
just, like, don't
is
understand
the problem.
That, like,
yeah,
this is a nice downtown now. I mean, we don't have to fix it. I mean, we could continue getting better, but there's nothing that really needs fixing downtown, really.
So this is a good segue because this also happened at the same the just before Fresh Yes Fest happened. Wicked is in town, touring production of Wicked. And the first night that it's in town, one of the actors is, and I don't know, I don't know exactly how it all played out, but in my mind, this is how it played out. He gets into town, he decides he needs to go out for exploring whatever, and he ends up in various parts of downtown. He ends up behind Tioga where the mural, the Fresno mural is.
Oh, he was there? Oh, okay. I thought he was in a different spot.
He was. He sort of was all around.
Oh, okay.
Parts of downtown. And he was on his Instagram and he made this video essentially saying what anyone probably would say if they were in that part of town at that time, which is like, where's everybody at? Like, yeah. What the hell is going on? Mm-hmm. This is a weird, and you know, it didn't come off looking all that good for him. He looked kind of like a little bit snotty about the whole thing. Mm-hmm.
Michael Wartella.
Yeah. And so as these things happen, I think, and I also think that he just put it on his Instagram because, like,
I felt it was just something to do,
right,
for him to do,
right.
And
it was funny and fun.
It was a classic small town streets roll up at 6 p.m.
Right.
joke.
And he probably assumed that no one was going to see it. And that probably would be true except for the city's communications director, Michael Standriff, is an actor himself. Mm-hmm. And follows these things, and probably, I don't know exactly where he saw it. But anyway, it started bubbling up on social media, and it ended up that Mark Standriff saw it, and he made his own sort of response video, which is really funny. And then it kind of blew up and was on social media, and people were talking about it. And I think at some point, he had gotten enough pressure from people, the actor did, that he had to put out an apology. And I thought it was really good, like, regardless of how the apology came, like whether he was told by the production company, like, hey, look, we're gonna be here for another two weeks or whatever. You can't alienate, like, everybody that's gonna come to your show. This could be really bad for us. Or he just, you know, realized, like, oh my God, I look kind of like an asshole, whatever. But so he redid. He sent out an apology.
I had more of a problem with the apology than the joke because, like, he over-apologized.
I know. Right, right.
He's so over-apologized.
Right.
He's so over-apologized. It's like, dude, now you're making it worse. Like, your apology is way over the top of what you did. But okay.
And then he ended up, he did end up at Fred Jess Fest eating some tacos and being seen. So that was, you know.
I think it looked like Mike Oz either put that together or Mark Standard put that together. But, he had some tacos, some of the best tacos. And like, it was funny because he has the camera right in his face. And like, what do you think? He takes a bite. He's like, what's he going to do? Like, he's going to go like, I don't know.
Man, they're okay. I mean,
he had no choice, but they're like, oh my God, it's the best taco I've ever had.
What's really funny, I feel like that whole thing is so like Fresno in that, like, he is saying stuff that, like, plenty of Fresnans have probably said themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, there are lots of Fresnans who wouldn't even go into that area of town at the time when he was there because they're afraid that they're going to get, you know, murdered or something. And, you know, but then he says it and everyone's like, well, how dare he? How, you know, or like they just get this weird, like, thing about it. And it's like, it was not a good look on him, right? You know, and it definitely didn't do any, like, benefit for Wicked, you know, the fact that, like, come on, kid, you're in this town. Like, and also, like, I don't know, I didn't look at the dates to see where else this thing was playing, but it's a touring production, and I'm sure they go to some shitty fucking places other than Fresno. Mm-hmm. And the other thing about it is, he was out there on whatever night it was. If he had been out there the next night on Wednesday, there was 2,000 people hanging out watching Flogging Molly play.
Right.
You know, if he had been out there and he was on Saturday, he would see a whole... So, like, I get it. He's probably used to being in places where you get out of the theater after your rehearsal or whatever, and there's all these things and people running around and having a good time, and that doesn't happen here. But, you know, aside from San Francisco, LA, New York, where Branson, you know, where does that happen?
Yeah,
We're no Branson. Anyway, so I thought it was interesting. I thought it was sort of telling in two ways. I mean, I think it was telling in him saying that. And having that, because that's a total outsider view, just coming in and being like, hey, whatever. And then, you know, like the next night and two nights or three nights later, there's these two huge events down there where there's 20,000 people milling about and having a crazy fun time. So, and also going to see Wicked, which was here for
Wicked, the Foxes, and Fresius Fest all happening.
And the Alley Wave party.
And the Alley Wave party.
That was right down the thing. So there was a whole lot happening in Fresno on Saturday. So
too much. Too much for this old man.
Too much, right. And I just stayed
inside. And that's a great choice we have now in Fresno.
I mean, it really is.
I don't need to go to that. I'll go downtown next week or something.
And that's the other thing that I think, and we've probably talked about it before, on where it's like, it's okay. So the Alley Wave party was happening, right? The Foxes game or whatever, all these other things, Wicked. And there was a time when, you know, someone putting together an event would go, oh man, we can't go up against another event
Wicked's in town. We can't do that.
Or there's a Fresno State football or whatever it is, you know? And now I think we've thrown that out the window and we just go, we can have as many stupid events as I don't actually mean stupid events. We can have as many events as we want, and people will go out if they're cool events, right? So,
yep.
Make cool stuff.
We're good. We've done it.
We're all right.
We're all right. We're fine.
We're getting there.
We're getting there, and we have things.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, that was fun. Yeah, positive. Fresyes, positive. We're up on Fresyes.
Okay.
We're just possibly getting too old for it. That's all.
Yeah.
keep it up, Fresyes people, because you're doing a good job. The bad stuff, I guess. Chicken pot pie.
One of the most famous iconic closures
of recent memory. The Chicken Pot Pie Shop. Man.
It could be. So it's Sunday. Today is the last day. So it is. Will be closed after today. There have been rumors of it closing, of the business selling, of whatever, for the past couple years.
Yeah.
I think last year at some point there was this whole thing where the business was actually listed in the classifieds as being for sale, and then it disappeared, and then there was like a GoFundMe campaign that was trying to raise some money, and then that disappeared. Mm-hmm. And then the owner is just, you know, never really wanted to talk about it, and there was someone else that was like the spokesman from the place, this woman who was always like, you know, yeah, this is happening. And so I think, you know, the place has always just been in, or not always, but for the past few years, it's been kind of in flux. And I guess last week, they started telling their regulars, like, it's going to be the last day. And then once word got out, it was just like, it was over.
Yeah.
And so the place has been since it was in, so Tuesday, I think. Monday night, Tuesday into Tuesday was when like people started really talking about it. And it's been just packed, jam packed, like half hour.
Wow.
Like an hour to get seated. Yeah. Which is actually kind of awesome, because I think what happened, a lot of people would go, couldn't get in and go eat other places in the tower. So it was kind of nice like that. And then, you know, people would come in, they want to get pot pies, right? They ran out of pot pies because like, there were a lot of people who would be
we want to get a pot pie.
So they would order a pot pie for Fryer Set. So they, over that week or whatever, I think they sold 4,000 pot pies or something. It's probably more now. Mm-hmm. And just a ton of people coming in and having, you know, memories or whatever, experiencing for the same time. And
now Monday they'll be like, we're staying open.
So this is right. I don't think that's going to happen, but I definitely think that, you know, it's a nice little retirement for, for the owner there who, I mean, they've been there a long time. I was talking to Craig Sharton, who, has been going there since he was like 3 or 4, mm-hmm. like regularly. So he is like the definition of a regular, and he was saying, you know, the owner is just kind of done with it, and his wife recently died, and I guess she just went to worked all day, came home and died.
Jeez.
And so I think maybe the guy is just like, I don't want to,
yeah,
you know, after all those, and like, how do you fault someone, you know, Plaza Ventana was the same way. I was
going to bring up Plaza Ventana was under the radar closure. That,
under the radar.
That upset me. Both of them are closed now. It's just done.
I think it was the same way where, like, the guy has just been doing it for, I don't know, whatever, how many, 40 years, 50 years. Mm-hmm. And just got to the point where, like, I don't want to do it anymore. Couldn't really have anyone to take over. And how do you fault someone for, like, just being like, I've done this for 40 years.
I want to go home and garden or something.
And unfortunately, everyone thinks that, like, a place closes because, like, business was terrible.
Well, they didn't do this, bro.
Right, or whatever it is. But, you know, sometimes it's just like, no, it's just time to be.
Yeah.
And, I mean, obviously, the chicken pie shop in the last however many years wasn't as, vibrant as it had once been, right? You know, I mean, I think once upon a time it was like the place where people in Tower kind of got together, and it hasn't been that way for a while. But it still was, you know, doing well enough to have people there. So
yeah, it's such a crazy big space. When you think about it, how were they able to survive this long? I guess because they must have paid for it already. Like, the building was bought already because.
The building recently was within the last maybe like 5 years, I think the building got sold. So I think maybe that had part of it. And I don't know
I think that
was the thing. You know, I think they've been in there so long that they just locked in the rent.
Yeah.
And even if it goes up a little bit every, it's going to take a long time for it to get to that. And I think a lot of the long time Tower District businesses probably are in a similar situation, you know, because I know when Aikido of Fresno was in the Tower, that's exactly what was happening. It was like we were in the building and the rent had been the same for a whole long time. And then, you know, the building owner dies and his son takes over or something happens and they want to raise the rent and you know, maybe they're not raising it astronomically, but even if they raise
enough
it
enough to make it where it's
to make
feasible,
it where it's like, okay, so then, you know, that kind of thing has to happen. So I think that's, you know, just kind of business as it happens. I don't know. It's going to be a big space that's going to be available space, and who knows? I can't see it. I don't see another restaurant.
Everyone says market, but is that Tower Market just that bad? I haven't been there in years, but
I don't know.
Just so unserviceable. I haven't been in.
No, I think it's fine. I think it's fine. But I think they want, you know, they want Trader Joe's is what they want. Or they want like a, you know, something.
I mean, that space is probably bigger than the old Blackstone Trader Joe's, but now for Trader Joe's to go into a new place, it's not.
They're going to build their own exactly as they want, you know.
That they're just not going to do that. Yeah. And they proved with them leaving the Blackstone location, they're like, we're done being, you know, small and
south of
Herndon. Yeah. Like, they'll never go back. Yeah. They'll never go south of Herndon again. And I don't think that other place, that the one on Blackstone, the Sprouts, I don't see them doing something like that. I don't see any chain-ish nice market going in there at all. So I think that's out.
It would be nice.
I am, again, we always do this, but I am going to challenge David Fansler. You think you're such a big shot. All your restaurants are home. You hit home runs at every restaurant, but they're all north of Herndon, aren't they? I mean, Trader Joe's or Tyler Joe's, which is on Shaw, but.
Right.
Let's see how good you are, bro. Here's a big location that's already restaurant ready. Big iconic location right on Olive. Let's see it, bro.
What would he put there? What would it be? What's the theme? What's the story?
I think it's got to be Fresno. Because he doesn't have a Fresno-themed restaurant.
Okay.
You got to have a
Fresno-themed restaurant only works someplace else. Like, if you wanted to open a Fresno's in Pismo or whatever.
Fresno contingent Portland and be like, let's go to Fresno's. Okay, well then, what's another Fresno thing that Fresno's go to We already got the coast and Pismos.
Yeah, we already got Pismos.
So do we go Disneyland themed or something?
We go up to Yosemite. We make there you already.
He's already done that.
See, he's smart. See, yeah, yeah. If there is one, he'll figure it out. Yeah. But yeah, I think there's rumors of different things, but who knows what's gonna. I don't know what's gonna. I mean,
you make it. It's Tower District, theater crowd. You either make it Hollywood or San Francisco. Oh,
I think that's good. I think that would be really awesome. You could make it like a New York theme because it's right there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, or Broadway themed,
right? Because it's right there between like surrounded by the theater district or whatever. Yeah. They serve New York style cheesecake and. Cheesecake Factory. Boom.
There you go.
I figured it out.
Cheesecake Factory.
No.
Can't miss.
Yeah, that's going to be, it'll be interesting to see what fills that. I hope something fills that space and fills it quick because.
Was it Dan Whitehouse on Twitter was saying how that B of A building has been empty for a couple of years.
I know.
And then somebody else said that somebody recently just bought it.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what that means.
Well, there's a lot of, I don't know if you've been to Strummer's in a bit, but that whole like block now is looks like it's several of the buildings that have been kind of empty.
Brass Unicorn.
So the Brass Unicorn and then the next like
the guitar shop. Ones?
They're all kind of being revamped. The one on the very end, which was Archer's Music. It still doesn't look like there's anything happening. But if they could get somebody in that building, you know, at the end, then that could really be transformative to that corner.
Yeah.
So that would be. That would be awesome. So I don't know. We'll wait and see, but it is definitely.
If nothing happens, do we have to worry about Olive Avenue at all? Does Olive Avenue look like it should? Is it getting ratty at all?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there's been enough. I think there was a moment, you know, but now you have Lucy's Lounge and you have Mother of Mary's Pizza. You have like. Review you Boca. You have a lot of new places that are doing well. You know, you have Bobby's. It's going to always be Bobby's forever there, and Sequoia and Irene. So, I don't think so. I mean, I think it's fine. I think the fringes of it, and I would say the Chicken Pie Shop is kind of on the fringe. You know, like I think Olive Avenue really is the sort of blocks from, Wishon. Right. You know, all the going the other way down to to Palm. Wishon to Palm.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's, you know, and maybe even not quite that far,
no,
but
that
block, you know, of Olive is what needs to really be. But then you have that other, you know, if you're on Van Ness, that spot down there where,
Full
Circle is and Spokeasy, that's all doing fine. If you're further up on, Wishon, you know, where Goldstein's is and Tower Yoga is there now and across the street you have High Top and whatever. So I feel like it's still happening. I think it's having a big empty building like that visible on that street. It does make it difficult, but you know, we had Million Elephant empty there for a long time.
Right.
And that's finally, hopefully, fingers crossed, gonna be opening as India's Oven soon. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. See what goes in there. All right, what do we want to do? You wanna take
some music break time. All right.
The episode. Have we ever had Patrick Contreras as our
I feel like we probably have
at some point.
We must have.
But we're going to have him as our musician. Although I guess he does have a band now that he's working with some guys. But anyway, Patrick Contreras is back at it. And I say back because, you know, there was a time for those of us who have been around and paying attention where Patrick Contreras was like, dude was like gold. You know, it was like if you were doing a thing, you wanted Patrick there because he was going to pull some people. And just because he was really dynamic and doing something completely outside what anyone had ever seen, and it was like that whole electric violin thing, and it was crazy, and people were all over it, and it seemed very right for the time.
Yeah.
And then he sort of like kind of went underground for a while. And not that he wasn't doing stuff and he wasn't around, because he was still playing and whatever. But within the last couple months, since the beginning of this year, he's just been out there pushing it and killing it again. And just recently did a Santana tribute at Fulton 55, sold out, which is crazy for a local.
Yeah, like to sell out for Fulton.
Like, I mean, sellouts at Fulton are rarities anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So to have a local guy do it, but he just hustled. And especially like for him, I think it was just him. I don't think there was anyone, there was no headliner. There was no, I mean, there was no opening acts. Right. I think he was just him doing his thing. It's pretty impressive. So, and he has a show coming up, in, Visalia.
Violin on Fire, I think.
I want to say, yeah. And I want to say it's April 27th at Cellar Door. And I think, let's see, yeah, it's just, looks like it's probably just going to be him again. And it's the Violin on Fire featuring Patrick Contreras, April 27th. And that's at the Cellar Door. So let's listen to a little break from Patrick. I gotta give it to Pat, you know, because remember when Patrick, for a second, he was doing like his dubstep stuff, and then he was doing all sorts of
trying to try everything.
Yeah, and I mean, so I think that's part of, you know, one of the things about him, and maybe why, because there was for a second there, it was like, is he gonna hit? Is he gonna really like? Yeah, and I think
he was about to break like national.
Yeah, well, and I think Pete. No, I think people didn't know what to do with him. Like, right, yeah. You know, like, he doesn't fit within, you know, confined. And so this is why, like, the Violin on Fire thing is, you know, kind of cool. It's because you know, it's he's defining what it is that he does, you know. And so I think he was playing around with it for a while, you know, where he was doing the more acoustic, you know, kind of stuff, and then different things, trying to figure out, like, what's the one that's really going to hit. And I think he's come back to the thing that he does well, which is that electric violin going crazy, you know, standing on the bar tops or whatever. So, yeah, it's definitely, it'll be interesting to see as he, to watch him keep progressing, if he can really push it. I think that he's playing at Grizzly Fest this year. Oh, now I'm going to have to look that up.
Grizzly Fest lineup.
Because, you know, I think if he can play Grizzly Fest and put on a really unique like show that's just completely different than anything else, I mean, I really think that that, let's see. I could have swore. Oh, yeah, yeah, so he is. So he's playing the first day, May 4th. Plan occasion, and then Patrick Contreras. So, you know, I think he can really shock some people if depending on what he decides to do with that show. So that'll be interesting to see.
We'll follow.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about the Brandow law?
Yeah. That got, let's do it.
Voted down.
It got voted down.
Something, a failure, for a Brandow failure, even, you know,
which felt like a win.
Yeah.
Didn't it feel like a win? So, Mark.
It felt like something that was going to pass, like,
Mark
pass
at the B wrote a column right after this all happened, sort of talking about, like, that idea that the people won out on, there was two votes that came up, and it just felt like a win. And this was one of them. So,
this was what?
Brandow.
What was this proposal by Brandow?
And I,
so it's basically.
So first of all, let's
not allowed to give anything to any homeless people on the corner, the streets.
So first of all, Brandow was recently elected to county supervisor. So he's giving up his seat on the city council, and there will be a special election, and he will be moving to the county supervisor. So. I don't know. He probably, this was definitely the last hurrah for him, I think. Yeah. I don't know if that's the reason that he wanted to put this, I don't know. I don't know him. I don't know, you know, his thought processes, but he puts forth this, proposal, and there's other people who had signed on to it. And it was essentially saying that it would make it a crime to hand out anything, money, water, socks, food, to and anyone standing on a street corner or in a median, whatever. And it was all under the guise of safety, traffic safety, and you know, that kind of thing. But really, it was a play similar to his camping ordinance, to get people to stop giving homeless people money, because he doesn't think that that's an appropriate path forward for anyone. It's like, you know, you're giving people handouts, and what we should be doing is, you know, other things. What other things that is, who knows?
First,
but
not going to propose that. They'll just stop that.
So he put forth this thing, and instantly people were just like, whoa, 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 wait a second. What the hell are you doing? The mayor came out, several of the other council people came out, in advance of the vote that was happening on this, to just be like, no, this is, why would you do this?
Yeah.
And then, you know, they had the vote, and they had, opened it for public comment, and a bunch of people showed up, obviously, mostly to tell Brandow how terrible how terrible this was, and how terrible he was. And I wasn't there, but I talked to the reporter who was, and she was like, you know, to his credit, Brandow sat there while people said some, you know, called him the devil and said, you know, how can you be so heartless and callous and, you know, whatever, and he just sat there. At the same time, a bill like this feel like? Doesn't it feel that way? Doesn't like how could you not like see like, this?
Why would you think this up any even?
Right? Like how can someone look at this and go, "You're telling me I can't give socks to a homeless? Yeah. Like I can't give my a sand? I can't go buy a sandwich?" Mm-hmm. And like and look, truthfully, it's not that you can't do that. It's just like park your car, get out. You know, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? That. Like, I mean, it's not that it's illegal to give something to people. It's that you can't do it out of your car.
Right.
Okay.
So then that makes Fresno be Valley Children's Day
no, because,
illegal.
No, because there would be an exemption for Kids Day. And
Kids Day is illegal now, bro.
The can't fire, the thing did have an exception for Kids Day and for the fire helmet boot thing, which to me gets back to the other thing where it's like, well, so if you're saying it's for safety,
about safety, right, bro?
But I suppose in that situation, then you know, if I were a homeless person or whatever, I could go to City Hall and try to get a permit to be on the corner at this day, yeah. Like. I don't know. It just it just seems very very backward to me. That's
it's
how
just,
I feel
it's,
like.
It's very
and it
much
was,
trying to you're not addressing the problem. Right. You're just like you're putting polish on something and trying to make it look like you're doing something about
right,
it.
Right.
It's like this isn't gonna do. This doesn't help anything.
Well, there were so many problems. I mean, I just don't understand. Like
even, I'm doing stuff. Look, I made a proposal. Right. Like, yeah, it's a really dumb proposal.
And like, how is it? I mean, I'm not even sure how it would be possible to police that because and, it's like think about all the things that would have to go in to doing like so there would have to be a policeman nearby who would have to see the thing and then be
determine
in a position
that's what
right to pull the guy oh you know pull the person over and then give him a ticket for the, and it's just like is how many times is all of that gonna unfold
right
so that you could do something that would then have a dent in this problem. And is the problem, you're saying that the problem is safety, is a real problem safety? Because in that case, it's like, we already do, I think.
There's already, they're already not allowed to be on the medium. So it's up to a, you know, Fresno PD, whether he wants to deal with that.
Right. And so.
He's sitting at traffic like, do I want to deal with this?
So really,
I want to just keep going?
It comes off feeling like it is an attack on, so really, it's an attack on these people who are standing on the corner begging, right? Yeah. Now, look, who's to say if those people are homeless or not? And in a lot of cases, I'm not 100% sure they actually are like homeless people. Yeah. And I'm going to use that in quotes, but the perception is the same. So like, if you are attacking those people, you are attacking homeless people. And look, homeless people don't need to be attacked anymore than they already are, like on a daily basis by like, being out and home.
Yeah, the elements every day, all day.
So, you know, I felt like this to me, you know, it was a win. I mean, to me, it felt like a win. And it's crazy that it felt like a win. And I feel there were other people actually who I saw who were not really celebrating this. They were just like, you realize that with like one or two, I think, or one. One or two votes, it would have flipped, and we could have had
close.
This. I mean, it was still. It's not like this. It's not like he proposed this, and everyone on the board or everyone on the council was like, no. Shh, you know. Right. Because also they could have just been like, no, we're not even going to vote on this. Get out of here, you know. So it's just it's unsettling, upsetting. That it seems like every few months, people have to rally down at City Hall to have their voices heard about something that we should be taking care of, you know, about a section of our community that we should be trying to care for.
We need to.
And we have to come out every.
Energy shouldn't be having to go down the sale and stop stupid shit. It should be trying to help the problem be better. And
so, but,
We don't have to worry. Brandel's gone from the council. Now he's a supervisor. Yeah,
now he's on
though.
The supervisor.
I don't know,
for
even
the
know
whole
what he's going to
county.
What can he do? Like though,
I don't know. We'll
as a supervisor.
Find out. We'll see. I mean, that's a good question. You know, I wonder how, you know, I mean, the county is obviously much bigger than, I mean, yeah, his county district is obviously much bigger than his city, his council district. Scary. You know, so
I'm in it too. I'm really
so we'll
scared.
See. Yeah. I mean, but, and it might be that, you know, people are going to have to start rallying down at the county board
office,
district, county district board meetings.
All right.
There you go. So they'll have to figure out when those are happening. Now we all know that city council is on Thursdays.
Yeah.
Now you're going to have to figure out when the county board of supervisors
meet. So much work involved when there's not good people in political offices of things.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see who's going to take over that seat. And yeah.
Well, bro, I think it's time.
That's it.
Unless you got something.
I do have one other thing in the similar situation, because this news just sort of broke that Andrew Jans is not thinking to run for congressional seats in 2020, but he is looking to possibly run for Fresno mayor.
Ooh, that's a 2020 Fresno mayor?
So, yeah. And what's going to be interesting is I think there is going to be there might be a lot of people getting into this race. There might be, you know, more than
recently. It has been pretty. I mean,
in the recent,
Mayor Brand didn't have much. I mean, I guess, what was his name running? Democrat. I've already forgotten his who he ran against the last time.
But it wasn't there. The last few haven't been all that contentious, you know. Yeah. And Swearingen was. Did she even her second term?
I'm not sure. She even had almost
ran unopposed. Almost. So I mean, it hasn't been. There hasn't been a lot of like.
Right.
Closely. Crazy, you know, like debate about like who, you know. And so for this, I think there could be, you know, several good candidates coming in, and
it shouldn't.
It definitely won't be like a rollover election for Brand if he decides, you know, he wants to.
We'll see.
He's going to go again.
It shouldn't matter what, and not supposed to matter what the political affiliation is.
We
haven't had a Democrat as a mayor for can you think of, was Dan Whitehurst? Am I correct in saying there? Or I'm thinking Dan Whitehurst.
That's way back. One. That's way farther back than I would even.
We had another female that was a mayor way back, right?
I'm just shaking my head.
We're going to sound like dummies now.
My mayoral remembrances.
Mine begins with Patterson.
Mine begins with, I mean, I sort of, I guess Patterson, but Bubba Autry.
Bubba.
That's when I really started.
Oh, Josh, that's good. I got a good mention from Josh.
That's when I really started paying attention to what was going on.
If you need to see Bubba, just go to Northeast Fresno, find a Starbucks, just go in Champlain and Shepherd around there. You'll see Bubba. Walking around. Hey, how's it going there?
Anyway, so that's happening. It should be interesting. I think there's going to be some real big, interesting changes coming up, you know, because we're going to get a new chief of police coming up as well. There are going to be some big changes in Fresno, and, you know, depending on how it plays out, we could be seeing a very different kind of city, hopefully. Yeah. So, not as bad. We love our city. Fresh Yes. Woo!
Woo! Fresh Yes!
All right. That's it. That's it.
It's time.
Plug it up. Plug it up. Plug it up. All right.
Josh, what are you doing?
Oh, you want me to go first?
I want Josh to go first.
So I will plug my day job at the Fresno Bee and FresnoBeehive.com. That's where you can read about all of the stuff that we talk about. Or mostly, if you like what we talk about here, we get a lot of that from the Fresno Bee.
I'm a subscriber. Well, I don't get the physical paper. They don't make it easy. Yeah, I'm a digital subscriber.
Which is what they want.
They don't make it easy for me to get the
no, they don't. Yeah. So I think the
physical. I tried hard one day. Physical, I'm like, I want. Because I like the Sunday and holiday schedule.
Yeah.
I had that for a long time and I had to give it up. And I recently wanted to bring it back.
And like,
I
was just like.
It was like too much effort. So I was like, I'm just.
So I was talking to someone the other day and I told them this. I said they had used to be a physical paper subscriber. They had not yet gone to digital. They, you know, ran up against the paywalls and are kind of whatever about it. And I said, look, a monthly subscription, 1 month subscription. Fresno B, I think it's $10, something like that. I think you
it's
can
a little more than that.
$12.
I mean, you could.
It's
probably,
pretty cheap for like a month or like 2 months. Yeah. Like there's
depends on how
there is an introductory special you can get 1 month. Mm-hmm. Just try it for a month. Digital subscription. See if you like it. There are various ways to look at it. So it's
I like the where EB. You can look at it as the
as
paper.
The newspaper. Yeah. So yeah, you can actually look in it, and it looks exactly like what you would see. In the physical paper, and you can kind of scroll through it if you're looking on your laptop or on your what is this thing that I'm doing
it's
with,
a smartphone?
With my hands? Tablet.
Tablet?
Anyway, so just try it. Okay, so that being said and done, I'll leave that there. I will also plug my other another podcast I have called Aikido Discussed, where we talk about the martial art of Aikido. So if you're into Aikido specifically, or just martial arts generally, that could be a fun little listen for you. It's a weekly podcast. You can find that at Aikido Discussed. If you just not disgust like I am disgusted, but disgust is
Aikido. I'm disgust.
We're having a discussion.
Yes.
And so you could find that on all your little podcast platforms. I will. Plug my band.
I'm in a band called
Big Balls. It's an AC/DC cover band. We've had several shows recently. We just had one last night. I don't know what we'll have coming up, although we have some very interesting plans for shows. So
I had a friend from work who didn't know that, you know, I know you or Big Balls or whatever, and went to that show with the System of a Down.
Oh, yeah, Metalachi.
Yeah, I went to the Metalachi show. He's like, oh, and I was like, oh, my friend is in Big Balls, the AC/DC. And I was like, he was like, what? That's your friend? And I was like, he was really good. And I was like, yeah, he's all right.
He's all right. He's got some. Anyway, so we may or may not play again soon, but we have some ideas for what could make for a really cool show. I'm also in a band called The Strikingly Originals. We have a show coming up next week, I think, April 6th, I believe, down in Tulare at Barmageddon. If you're into the punk scene, that might be a show that you would like to get to. We're playing with this band, Hour 13, psychobilly. I don't want to say psychobilly band because I think they get mad. Rockabilly band.
You're gonna be like that
punk band.
That wicked guy gonna get yourself in trouble.
Seriously. Anyway, but upright bass, lots of reverb. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Anyway, cool band.
Sounds like rockabilly.
So they're playing there, and we should have. We're working to record some new stuff, and so we should have that coming out later this summer. And then I'm always in It'll Grow Back, and who knows what's going to happen. You know, just we could play tomorrow with It'll Grow Back. We might have a show coming up for people who are into that. And, yeah, let's see. Is there anything else that I'm forgetting about? There probably is. Mm. And if there is, I'll feel bad about it later. So.
All right, Joshua Teehee.
What about you? Oh, yeah, on Instagram
and Twitter.
Twitter, Facebook, yeah. All right, and Mike, what do you got going on?
TheFresnan.com.
Yeah, woohoo! What was your post? You did the me and Ed's
something
post.
Complaining. People complaining were like about something.
Yeah. I was complaining about Fresno, whining about something,
yeah. And worried that people get mad, and turns out nobody cares.
No one reads it. Come on.
Yeah. Isn't anyone getting mad at this post?
I tried so hard.
What post? What post are you talking about? I did this major post about this thing, and nobody's getting mad about it.
No, there's no outrage. Where's the outrage?
I said some messed up stuff there. You should really be getting mad. I really don't care, dude.
So it's thefresin.com. It's a great website. Good insight.
I'm planning a post about what to do with this chicken pie shop.
Oh, great. That'll be a good one. Yeah,
we'll
yeah,
see
yeah.
If I decide it's any good. Or not.
Okay. Roller rink.
Delete it all.
Just put a roller
rink. Roller rink. There you go. Mini roller rink.
Mini roller
rink. Oh, it was about Fresia, so whining about Fresia.
I don't think I read that one.
Basically what we were talking about earlier.
Okay, good. So no one has to read it.
Yeah, no, you don't need to read it.
I put it on.
And then I have a beer geek blog called MikeyTopPour.com.
Oh, no. I'll have to check that out. Okay.
And then the other podcast.
The Dorktown Network.
Dorktown Network of shows. The Dorktown, the once every 6 months comedy show, Dorktown. And then the Harrison Ford show, Get Off My Podcast. Which there's rumors of a new Air Force One movie.
No.
It's unclear whether it's a sequel with Harrison Ford or if it's a reboot. We're not sure at this moment, but this is what's bubbling under Air Force One. So we're going to have to tackle that somehow.
What's Harrison Ford's next movie coming out? What's he got in the works?
The Secret Life of Pets 2. He's a new character in
Come on.
Hey,
does that even count?
There's lots of big time people in that. So.
Okay.
He's never done an animated voice in a movie.
So that's a big one.
He's got to get himself cool. in there.
It seems like he would though, because he has such recognizable.
Yeah, and I've seen a clip, and it's pretty good. What is he? He's like a big dog, farm dog.
Okay,
he's like a really big dog on the farm.
Very good.
And then he has one in December, that one we talked about from that old book where he's a prospector. There's a wolf and the prospector and whatever.
White Fang.
Yeah, something like that. And then the Indiana Jones is in pre-production.
Pre-pro.
So Indiana Jones.
Very good.
And then the Perfect Pour.
The Perfect Pour.
Beer Geek Show. Lots of local beer talk if you like that. So the Perfect Pour, that's on all the other places you find this show at.
Very good.
And I guess that's enough of that.
Okay. Well, then I guess we're done. Huh? Mm-hmm. We just did it. I'm sure there's other stuff to talk about. Oh. If people want to interact with us, we get some interaction.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get a bunch of people. I'm going to say this now, and then people are going to write in and be like, come on, get rid of the theme song or whatever. or you guys singing the theme song. Yeah. I think the theme song's fine.
Right.
I think people just have a problem with us like not actually knowing how it goes. And then anyway, but my point being, if you want to reach out to us and you have topic idea, you think that we don't know what we're talking about, Ed Stewart's pretty good about this. You know, he'll just like, he's very nice a lot of times, I feel like, where we'll say something that might be kind of dumb, and he'll just, like, correct us in a very, like, matter-of-fact way or whatever. It's not like that. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. Actually, it was. I don't think so. I never took it that way. Anyway. but, yeah, you can find letters. Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of Ed, he has a podcast. He's on a podcast
The
Foxes Fresno.
We should have, yeah, that's
Fox,
a, yeah.
Foxtrot.
And that's about the Fresno Foxes soccer team.
Foxtrot podcast.
So and I'm sure like, people will be into that.
Yeah, probably more than this one. Probably.
I would think the
Foxes fans
are. Yeah,
seems like the whole city, the way that is like proud they are of the Foxes, like it seems like it's huge,
right.
the following they have. I don't know if that's...
Is that a weekly podcast? Do you know? Or around game?
Feels like it
around
is.
Game time? I'll have to look it up.
Just look it up. Foxtrot Pod on Twitter. I know that.
So. There you go. All right. That's it. We're going to be done.
That's enough, man.
I'll count us out with a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.